Imagine being that soft-spoken and being able to hear yourself so good. My ears must be really good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, the Lord was reminding me of something this morning that He constantly reminds me of what He called us to do as a ministry, how He's provided and how He said His presence would be there always, perpetually, amen, until He returns. So we don't have to wonder when we gather together if He is going to be here or not, amen, because the Word of God assures us when two or more are gathered together in His name, there is to be found in the midst, amen. And He's here to minister to our hearts and our lives today. Amen?
Amen.
So if you open your Bibles with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4. Before I go into our text this morning, to build a little foundation, the Apostle Paul, in his ministry, was always dealing with the law and grace, the law and Christ. And they were always trying to bring the law in or not have the law in. And the law wasn't abolished in Christ Jesus. It was fulfilled. Amen. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law. And Paul was going through a lot of adversity. And when I was praying this morning, the Lord spoke to me and He said, the greatest adversity that the church body is facing in the world today is the spirit of religion. The spirit of religion is what's separating the body of Christ worldwide. And God says His love is what connected us, and it's the devil's hate that divides us. And so the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy, just to build a foundation, and verse number 1, chapter 1, verse number 11, he says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believe. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. The word of encouragement. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Amen. That good thing, that gospel, that salvation, That deliverance, that good thing that's been delivered to you, the good thing is the Word of God, that keep by the Holy Ghost that dwells in us. So when I was looking at this, the Lord took me to Galatians chapter 4 for our text today. The Apostle Paul was trying to convince the ones that came out of bondage not to go back into bondage. And the ones that were in bondage was trying to talk them into coming back into bondage. So it's like what we're facing in the world. We're in this world. We're not of this world. But surely this world wants to grab us and wants to choke us. But the Apostle Paul said this in verse number 16. He says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I'm present with you. He's talking about even in my absence. So the title of this morning's message with the help of the Lord is The Cause and the Effect. And we're going to look at three things: the admonition, the adversity, and the effect. Okay? So can we lift the word today and make a declaration here? Together. Repeat after me, say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God called me to be. Today, I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me, your servant. I am listening. My ears are open and my heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I'm so grateful for the word. Now I pray, Father God, that you speak through me, Father God. May the spirit of Carl get out of the way. May the spirit of God use this vessel for your glory and for your honor and for your praise. So, Father, I thank you, Father God, for everything that you're going to accomplish in every heart and every life in this room today, and will never cease to give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And first, we're going to look at to admonish, or the admonition. The admonition would be a warning. Amen? A warning. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you have your word. If not, just write it down, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Reading verse number 3. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the church of Corinth. He's speaking to the body of Christ. He isn't speaking to the world. He's speaking to the church. He says in verse 3, "For ye are yet carnal," or worldly, "for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" In other words, if Christ's sacrifice on the cross of Calvary has unified the body of Christ together, anything we use to divide us isn't of God. Amen? Amen? United we stand, divided we fall. Amen? So the Apostle Paul gives a word of admonition, or to admonish them. So look with me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 1. The Apostle Paul says this to the church at Thessalonica. He says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you." Now listen to me. The Apostle Paul is prophesying over them, speaking life of the word into them before he ever deals with the instruction or the admonition. Amen? In other words, he's speaking life into them, and God is speaking life into you and I. He says, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Amen? He says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." Amen? So he's given us an admonition. He's given us warning. He's given us a warning that not all men have faith, but God has surrounded you. He's given you his word. Our faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And as we're ministering today, God wants to minister life and bring the abundance thereof. Look with me in Romans chapter 15. Again, verse number 14, Paul is edifying, he's encouraging, he's comforting the hearers as he speaks. He opens this up with verse 14. He says, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, able also to admonish one another." Now, to admonish one another, to warn one another, if it's done in love, it's accepted. If it's not done in love, if it's done in judgment, nobody's going to accept the judge. That's why God says, "Judge not, lest you be judged." In other words, if you're admonishing, you're giving warning, and we're giving a warning in love, like God is love, and he gives us a warning in love. Is he a God of judgment? Yeah, but we're not at that place yet. We're in the season of grace. I thank God for grace. Anybody else here thankful for grace? He says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Being sanctified or set apart by the Holy Ghost. In other words, he's speaking to the church of Rome, he's speaking to the Jews, and he's saying that the Gentiles, you and I, have been accepted into the kingdom of God. Amen? And he's warning them and telling them and admonishing them in the word. The Apostle Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he's talking about Satan. He's warning them in verse 10. He says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, and them that perish because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, when he was saying to me, and he's giving us warning, he is saying to us, and the warning is, and Jesus said in John 8:32, he said, and you shall know the truth, and it's the truth that makes you free. Amen? So as children of God, God wants you and I to know that we have all power in the name of Jesus and the empowering of the Holy Ghost to put the devil behind us. He has no place in front of us. He is under our feet and he's behind us. Amen. Let's not give him room. The more room you give him, the more turmoil you're going to go through. And believe me, he wants to wreck you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to kill you. He wants you to be sick and miserable. But God came to give you life and the abundance thereof. Amen. God came to deliver us from the power of darkness. Amen. God came to give us freedom. Amen. We sing these songs. And when I was singing these songs, I remember where I was. I remember when I was under the bondage of a cocaine addiction. That I was prisoner in my own room and I couldn't even come out of my own house. But God came into the room and set me free. And God is no respecter of persons. The same thing he did for me, he'll do for you. Amen. And God says, hey, when we're going in the wrong direction, half the time when you see your brother going or your sister going in the wrong direction, you're going to say, oh, we'll let them find out. No. Warn them. Admonish him in love. That's what the Father said. That's what Paul was doing. You know, it's just like somebody's taught me years ago and how to minister. He said it's like making a sandwich. You have two pieces of bread and you have meat in the middle. In other words, the bread is to affirm your brother or affirm your sister, to encourage them. Then you give them the meat. You give them the warning and the sinner. And then you end up praising them again, encouraging them again. And it makes a good sandwich. It makes it delightful to the body to receive. Amen? Amen? Amen. Are you with me?
Amen.
In other words, listen to me. This isn't just about words in a book. This is about bringing the words into life. For everyday situations and everyday circumstances and things that we're going through. Amen. And we if we believe the word and what God said, is it Jesus calling? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pocket call. Hallelujah. No. Hey, Father may have called on the main line. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, hey, I expect God to do some supernatural things in these days to come. Amen. I mean, there's signs and wonders and miracles that are going to take place and the visible signs. You know, they're just not done in the secret place. They're done in an open place in front of everybody. You know, there was a word of knowledge that went forth that somebody's shoulder was healed today. Was that your shoulder? Somebody's shoulder get healed today? Hello? Amen. Thank you for it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay. Go back to Galatians chapter 4. We have the admonition. And we have the adversity. Yeah. How many like adversity? None of us, right? In verse 17 of Galatians 4, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. And, you know, I was reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the Apostle Paul says in verse number 9, he says this. He says, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. The Father said to me the other morning, he says, the adversity that you're going through is the doorway to the future that I provided for you. Hello? Hello? That thing that the adversary is trying to put in front of you. Paul said there's a great effective door that opened for him. But there's many adversaries. I don't know about you, but Paul can say, well, I'm persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He didn't say that you're not going to go through anything. But what God says is you're never going to go through it alone. God has connected you with brothers and sisters in Christ. Look around. He's connected you. And if you're not connected to the ones that are here, get connected. Hello. Oh, my pastor, you don't see, nobody likes me. Nobody sees me. Oh, I'm there all by myself. No, you're not. The only reason you're there by yourself is you haven't reached out to no one. And if it's on your heart to reach out, reach out. Amen. Reach out and touch somebody's hand as he go by. I don't know what that song is, that song. You can go ahead.
Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
Amen. I like y'all's outfit. Y'all look cool today.
Thank you.
Now, you reach out and touch the Lord, but God wants us to reach out and touch one another too, right? Amen? Amen? Hey, good. Good to see you. Hey, Donnie. Good to see you, man. Hallelujah. All right, here I go. We ready? Look with me and your word to 1 Peter. How do I do this, okay? 1 Peter chapter 5. Now, we're talking about... adversity. The Apostle Peter gives us instructions how to handle it. Verse number 8, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. You know, the Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And he says here in verse number 10, he says, but the God of all grace, who have called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Amen. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. In other words, he gives us instructions how to face the adversary. Like Paul said, there was a great door of that was opened unto him. There was many adversaries. There was adversity. Amen. And he had many adversaries. Amen. And so he tells us how to handle that. We're to be sober and be vigilant. In other words, to be vigilant is be awake and don't quit. Amen. The prophet Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah chapter 30. Verse number 19, he said, "For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and to the left." You know, the word of God tells us the steps of a righteous man have been ordered by the Lord, and he finds delight in his way. Amen? You know, as we look at this, even though we have, we've received admonition or to admonish or warning, we also... we have adversity. There's warfare. But the Apostle Paul says this, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of every stronghold, casting down imaginations, amen, and everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now I'm going through life's highway, and I'm on life's journey. And I hear a voice behind me say, turn right. This is the way. But my self-willed, stubborn man or woman says, well, I'm not going that way. I'm going this way. And you find a mess. And you ask the Lord to meet you in your mess. And what he asks you to do, he says, go back to that crossroad. That place where I told you to make a right, go ahead and make that right. And you'll find all your answers that you're looking for. God will never lead us in a wrong direction. Amen? That he would never lead us to harm or danger. Most of the harm and danger we have in life and receive is because we go in adverse direction for what the Lord called us to do. I don't know about you, but here's Paul. There's signs and wonders and there's miracles taking place. And the Jews still aren't believing. The Jews trying to convince the Gentiles that it's not real. People are being raised from the dead. People's limbs are coming back on. All these things, and they're trying to say it's not real. God is real. We serve the real deal. Amen. He's alive and well. It just isn't in the book. My Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he's telling us, he's giving us an admonition, or he gives us a warning. Sometimes we just need to take heed to the warning. Amen. Because if we don't take heed to the warning, we face more adversity than we had to. Amen? Just look at it. Paul says, this great door opened for me, and there was many adversaries. I mean, they about plucked his eyes out. They stoned him. All right? They tried to kill him, okay? Amen? I don't know, but when you get... He got stoned in a different way than people get stoned today, okay? Hello? Yeah. Let me tell you something. He was left basically for dead. But the power of God rested upon him. Jesus took on, was stoned, was took 39 stripes. Paul took 39 stripes three times. Hello? Thrice, three. Amen? Because he was facing adversity. Why? so that you and I could receive man. Man. I don't know. I don't like pain. I would rather you take the pain for me. How about you? Would you rather me take your pain? Hallelujah. And then we have, thirdly, we have the effect. Go back to Galatians chapter 4. The effect. He says, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. Amen. Luke writes about this in Acts chapter 14. So go with me to Acts 14. Is everybody still with me? This is sort of the same thing that was taking place in Galatia. Here we're in with Paul and Barnabas in Iconium. And he says, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. You know? And this is the wages. And what I'm looking at, the effect is the wages or the payment. You know, the wages or the payment. The Apostle Paul said this in Romans chapter 10. He says in verse 2, he says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness are going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Amen. We are the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we submit to what Christ has done, and he can prevent us from many things. The Apostle Paul says this. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse number 12. He says, even so ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Excel to building one another up. Nobody is in this room to be torn down. God wants to build us up. Amen. We're his children. Amen. He's got great and mighty plans in every life in the room. So in closing today, look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse number 3. He says, since you seek proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Then he says, examine yourselves. Whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates or you be rejected? So in closing today, what is the Lord saying? Number one, the most important thing is Christ in your life. Is he in the first place? You know, he doesn't take second place. I've been married for 41 years to this wonderful woman. But Jesus comes before her. And since Jesus comes before her, I can be a better blessing to her. Because since Christ is in the first place, she gets a better man. She gets a kinder man. She gets a man that has love, that has joy, that has long suffering, that has peace, that's tender sometimes. You know, she deals with the natural side. But praise God, she gets to deal with the spiritual side a whole lot more than the natural. And what God is saying to you and I today, those things that we're seeking in our life, He's a very jealous God. He's jealous for you. He desires to have your best part, your first part. In other words, many times we ask Jesus to come into our life and we make Him our Savior because we can go to heaven. But He says, the Lord Jesus, to make Him the Lord of your life, to give Him that first place in your life, then the Word of God truly comes to pass, where He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. Your family, your marriage, your job, your peace, your joy, all those things come. What a package. It's a package deal. Amen. And as the word went forth today, Lord said this, that He's warning us that the time is near. And to bind those things that try to divide you and separate you from the kingdom of God. That you're going to face some adversity. But you never have to face it alone. He said He would never leave you nor forsake you. But He's also placed you in a body, so it's important for you to connect. And if you connect with the body, when you go through something, you're not going to go through alone. It's not going to be God's going to be there. Somebody's going to be there with you. And there's somebody that's in this church today that needs you. You know, we kind of need one another. Hello? God didn't make us self-sufficient where we didn't need one another. That's why He called us together to be a body. Because God has a plan. And He says, hey, let's have a good or a positive effect on others. Amen. Amen. There's enough negativity in this world. We don't have to have it in the house of God. Amen. I don't know. You know, each and every one of you, I want to say this to you. I'm thankful for each and every one of you. Some of you, I haven't met you yet. I'm Carl Sly. Shirley, good to meet you. Glad that you're here today. Amen. But I know it. I need each and every one of you. All of y'all are important to me. All of you are important to God. And God wants us to recognize how important we are to one another. So in closing again, what is the Lord saying? Number one, I'll just say this one thing before we close. The most important thing that you could do today is put in first place. Put in first place. Amen? Put in first place. And as you do that, He says, all these things will come. Bow your heads and let us pray.